We're going to read from Revelation chapter 6, please. The sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. We're coming back to earth in this chapter. Remember, in chapter 4 and 5, we've been up in heaven, looking at the throne of God. Remember that he's in charge, by the way. The Lord is in charge of this universe. In case you've forgotten, see those leaders who are meeting in Cornwall over the weekend, the G7, isn't that what they call them? Don't think for a moment that they're in charge, because they're not. No, let's read today about the one who is in charge. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb, there's the one in charge, the Lamb, opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" The Lamb is the great executor in Revelation chapter 6. That's what we could call him, the executor. You know how it is whenever someone passes away, the will is taken by the executor, and the executor makes sure that the will is complied with. Whatever the deceased has stated in the will, the executor will make sure that it happens. The Lamb, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, he's the executor of the will of God. God Almighty, God the Father, has a will. He has a will that's written down in the book that we read of here in Revelation chapter 6. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." One of the seals on the book. The book is described for us in chapter 5, the previous chapter, the first verse. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." Now, don't have sort of the idea in your head of a book like this. This is a scroll. It's talking about a scroll. You know, a scroll that you roll back. It's rolled back. But this scroll is sealed. There's seven seals on this scroll. But here's the Lord Jesus, and as it were, he comes and he sits down with the scroll of the will of God Almighty for planet Earth. And he removes the first seal, the seal that's around the scroll. And he unwinds it or rolls it back. Partially, he opens and looses the first seal. He opens the scroll and he looses the first seal. And he begins to execute the will of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, he's the one who, as we've already said, is in complete control of everything that happens on planet Earth. Those seven leaders in Cornwall, they only think that they're in control. They only think they're in charge. But the reality is the Lamb's in charge. The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge. And isn't it good to be worshipping him today? I'm glad to be in his house. I'm glad to be worshipping the one who's in control of this universe. Not an atom can move anywhere in this universe unless he says it can. It can't move without his permission. The Lamb opened one of the seals. Well, what do we read whenever the seal is opened? Verse 2. "And I saw," this is John now. Remember, I haven't really said much about John for quite a while. Because, you know, folks, whenever you get a glimpse of Christ, you tend not to say much about man. But John's on Patmos, this island prison. He has committed no crime. His only crime, according to the state, was that he was faithful to Christ, took a stand for Jesus. That's his crime. He wouldn't burn a pinch of incense to Caesar. He wouldn't say Caesar is Lord, because Jesus is Lord. And still the same today, no true believer will burn their pinch of incense to the state. They will not submit to the lordship of the state. No, they will only submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. So John's on his prison island of Patmos suffering for the cause of Christ. Perhaps you're on Patmos today, not in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, but you've got your own Patmos today. You've been in prison for quite a while. Some affliction, some trial, some burden that has been like a prison, like a jail to you. And perhaps today you wonder, how are you going to get free from the jail? Well, the Lord will set you free as soon as the time is right. He knows how long the trial needs to last to accomplish his perfect purposes in your life and in mine. But until he does bring you out of that trial or bring you through it or whatever, and he will bring you through. Until he does, think with me about the opening of the first seal. What does John see here? He sees a white horse. Behold, a white horse. You know, there have been many white horses in history, haven't there? Think of King William, the most famous white horse that we know of, the one that King William rode as he went to the Battle of the Boyne and defeated James at the Battle of the Boyne. King William's horse. Napoleon had a white horse as well, a horse called Marengo. Probably not remember that, but that apparently was his name, the name of Napoleon's white horse as he went into battle, Marengo. There was a show jumper a few years ago called John Whittaker. He had a white horse called Milton, and he rode that white horse in show jumping competitions. What about the famous racehorse Desert Orchid? Desert Orchid, a very famous and a very successful racehorse who won many races. Desert Orchid, a white horse. We've spoken today to the children about Billy the white horse from the FA Cup final in 1923, how Billy helped to restore order to Wembley Stadium all those years ago. A lot of white horses that we could talk about today. But folks, here's the greatest white horse of all. The white horse that John describes for us in the book of Revelation. You know, we're not so much interested in the horse today. We're more interested in the person who was riding the horse. Who is it? Who is this individual? Let's try to identify him. Some people believe that this is the Antichrist. The Antichrist who will come in the last days, who will be a globalist, obviously, and he will take global power to himself. Personally, I don't believe it is. I'll tell you today who I believe it is. I believe it's the Savior. I believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe it's the Antichrist, I won't fall out with you. You're entitled to that belief. But I want to suggest to you that it could be the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me come from that angle today, that the rider in the white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I believe it? Well, because we have already spoken to the children today about Revelation 19. And the rider on the white horse there in that chapter was the Savior, was the Lord Jesus. So I think we're entitled to sort of connect the two together. Revelation 19, Revelation 6. Remember, folks, that Scripture interprets Scripture. You want to understand the Scriptures, take the key and go to another passage of Scripture. Scripture unlocks Scripture. And so we have in Revelation 19, the Lord Jesus Christ going forth, the man of war, riding the war horse, the white horse in that chapter. And so here's another individual on a white horse going forth, another war hero on his war horse. And I personally believe that this is the Savior himself. It says that he had a bow. A bow. He that sat on him had a bow. Bow. When you have a bow, you shoot an arrow, don't you? You know how it is in the Olympic Games that are coming up, starting on the 23rd of July, I think it is. And there'll be archery, the archery competition. And the archers will shoot the arrows at the target. Well, did you notice that there's no arrows mentioned in this passage? Revelation 6, verse 2 doesn't mention anything about an arrow. No, just mentions the bow. The bow. I want to tell you, folks, the arrow has already been shot. Do you know when the arrow was shot by this rider on the white horse? It was shot at Calvary. As he bled and died for the sins of mankind, as he rose again from the dead, oh, the great arrow of the Lord's deliverance was shot. And the enemy was taken down, and the enemy was felled by that arrow. Hallelujah. The arrow has been discharged from the bow. Our Savior has defeated the enemy. If you're discouraged today, remember that you're on the winning side. Remember that perhaps that even though you're going through a trial the present time, perhaps it's difficult at the present time for you. Maybe you're going through a trial the like of you've never been through before. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not easy, but remember up ahead, there's a great future for you, because the Lord Jesus has won the battle on your behalf at Calvary. The rider on the white horse with the bow, he shot the arrow of salvation at the cross. And redemption has been provided. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Remember on Thursday evening, we were in Psalm 18, thinking about the arrows that are mentioned there. The arrows. And at the cross, the arrows were shot. They were discharged from the bow. And Jesus won the battle for us. Our great hero is riding here in victory, in the victory of his shed blood at the cross. And our eyes and our attention and our gaze is upon him today, the rider on the white horse, the mighty victor, the mighty conqueror. Folks, get your eyes on him today and keep your eyes on him. You'll be amazed at how many Christians get their eyes off him. Get their eyes on man. Well, don't make the mistake of looking to man, because man will always fail, including this preacher in this pulpit today. We have feet of clay. Aye, we have got feet of clay, us preachers, you know. We're just flesh and blood, dust and ashes. Some people get their eyes on to man, on to the minister. Oh, he did that, or he did this, or I don't think he should have done that way, or don't think he should have made that decision. Don't even bother, folks. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Focus on him. Focus on the rider on the white horse. For you know what will happen if you get your eyes on man and you get your eyes off the Lord? You'll be like Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Everything was going well. Boy, he was walking on water. But then he looked at the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus. And that is when he started to sink. That always happens when a believer takes their eyes off the Lord. Ah, but I've sinned. I failed the Lord. Pastor, you don't know what I have done this past week, how I've let the Lord down. Well, yes, I don't know, and I don't need to know. The only person who does need to know is your Savior, the Lord himself. Now, child of God, if you haven't already, just you get into his confessional box and you tell him about what you've done and he'll put it onto the blood. He will. He'll not take a sledgehammer to you. Maybe some other Christians would do that, but not him. Now, he'll forgive you and he'll get you back on your feet. He'll lift you up again. So you just take a good long look at him today. Ravish your eyes upon the Savior afresh today. Robert Murray McShane, that man of God from a bygone era. The church was St. Peter's in Dundee in Scotland. He has many great quotes and sayings that are a blessing to the church still today. But one that I often think about, and it often encourages me. Mr. McShane said on one occasion, for every look you take at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. For every look at yourself, take 10 at Christ. Very good advice. Very good advice. Aye, the rider on the white horse has got the bow, but the arrow has been discharged at Calvary and the victory has already been won. We're not fighting for victory in 2021, we're fighting from victory. But think with me as well here. You see, whenever you think about the bow and the arrow, obviously Whenever someone shoots an arrow, they're shooting at a distance, from a distance. When you take a bow and an arrow, or the archers who be shooting in the Olympics, they're not going to be standing right beside the target. They're going to be standing back at a distance. The rider on the white horse has the bow. He shoots from a distance. You know where he is today? He's at the Father's right hand. Physically speaking, he's at a distance from us as we meet to worship him in this church. Aye, there's a great distance physically between us and the Savior today, because he's in the highest heaven. He's in the third heaven today. He's at a distance, but I want to tell you folks, he wins the battle from a distance. He shoots his arrows from a distance. He's at the Father's right hand today. And he shoots one arrow at one enemy, and then he shoots another arrow at another enemy, all the way from the Father's right hand. That immense distance to planet Earth today, and all his enemies are arrayed against him on planet Earth. And there'll come a day when they'll all gather at Armageddon in the Middle East. And then he's going to finally defeat them. But hallelujah, even at a distance today, the Lord Jesus has the victory over his enemies. Now that ought to encourage every one of us who are saved. Mind you, if you're not saved today, it'll not encourage you, because his arrow is aimed at you. You better believe it today. He's angry with the wicked every day. Oh, you think, oh, Jesus is sitting up in heaven smiling down upon you in your lost condition and your rebellion. It's not true. That's a lie from the devil. He's angry with you because you've broken his laws and because you've rebelled against his rule. You have rejected his gospel, his salvation. He's not smiling down on you today. Greatest crime of all, the greatest sin of all, is rejecting Christ. The person who rejects Christ brings the judgment, the wrath of the Lamb down upon themselves. One day the arrow of judgment will strike. Come to the Savior today. Leave the enemy's side. Transfer onto the Lord's side. The price has been paid. What a price it was that you could go from the broad way to the narrow way. What are they saying about Harry Kane, the Spurs footballer? They're talking about $150 million of a transfer fee. Well, that's a lot of money, isn't it? You know, the price, the transfer fee of the Lord Jesus was infinitely greater. It was his own blood that was shed. And as Martin Luther said, one drop of Christ's blood is worth more than heaven and earth. Come to the Savior, make no delay. You're on the devil's side today, and you know fine rightly that he's fighting a losing battle. And he's going to be on the losing side someday. And he's going to be cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. Make sure you're not on his side when that day comes. How long halt ye between two opinions? Oh, there's some of you, and I'm telling you about Christ week after week. How long is it going to take you? How long is it going to be before you'll step over the line and bow before him and receive him? I look down at you on a Sunday morning, and I just wish to myself I could see you on a Thursday evening, saved and in the prayer meeting and crying to God for Brother John Henry and for others who need the Lord's touch, and above all for souls to be saved. Be good to see you folks at a prayer meeting. Maybe some of you have taken the step and you've received the Lord and you're now a Christian, but you've told nobody. Tell us today, and you'll rejoice and we'll rejoice with you. And you come to the place of prayer and don't let anybody stop you and don't let the devil tell you you're not good enough or you have to wait. Come you on ahead. The rider on the white horse is the victorious one. The psalmist in another place, he said, the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Oh, the one at God's right hand today, the man Christ Jesus, doeth valiantly. He's got the bow, he's got the crown. Let me speak about that for a moment. The crown. The word in the Greek is Stephanos. We get the word, the name Stephen from it. It means a victor's crown. The Lord Jesus is the champion. The idea here of this crown is of the laurel wreath that was given out at the ancient Olympic Games. The Olympic athletes today get their gold medal, but that wasn't the case in ancient Greece. They received a laurel wreath, the one who triumphed, the one who was first in the race or in whatever the discus or whatever competition it was, they got the crown, the Stephanos. The one on the white horse, he's got the crown because he's the victor. The crown adorns the mighty victor's brow. Then it says that he's conquering and he's going forth to conquer. He went forth conquering and to conquer. He triumphed. During his earthly life, at his birth, Herod the Great tried to murder him, but he triumphed. He conquered. At his temptation, the devil came to him 3 times, 3 different temptations, but he conquered. At Nazareth, he went into his home church, the synagogue at Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He read from the book of Isaiah. He handed the scroll back to the minister in the synagogue. He sat down and, you know, after the service, they took him to the brow of the hill and they were going to throw him over the edge of the cliff that Nazareth was built on. Now, sometimes ministers and preachers have find that after services, people come to them and they'll say, oh, I didn't agree with that, or didn't agree with the other thing, or that there offended me, or you shouldn't have said that. But I haven't heard of any preacher who has had his congregation try to throw him over a cliff after the service. But that's what they tried to do to Christ, the Lamb of God, hurl him over the cliff. But he's the rider on the white horse. And he conquers, and he conquered that day at Nazareth. And in Gethsemane he conquered, as the enemy came and he sweat great drops of blood. See the mighty conqueror in the garden. See the mighty conqueror at the cross, as he triumphs over principalities and powers and makes a show of them openly. See the mighty conqueror there leaving the tomb on the third day. Rising from the dead, the mighty conqueror ascending back to heaven, and he's at the Father's right hand. The mighty conqueror over death. You see, because of what Christ has done, because he has conquered death, death for the believer is just asleep. That sounds good, doesn't it? Some of you good folk, you don't sleep very well at night. I tell you, you're going to sleep well whenever your body is separated from your spirit. And the Lord takes your spirit to paradise, your body will sleep. Until the day that the mighty conqueror raises your body from the grave. The rider on the white horse, the great warrior, goes forth. Can you not see the white horse walking around our sanctuary today? Can you not see him with the eye of faith, the rider on the white horse? He comes here today and he looks for those who will submit to him. Those who will
take the knee to him?
You see all those footballers who are taking the knee at the present time? They're going to take the knee to the man on the white horse someday. They're going to bow the knee to him. They're bowing the knee at the present time to a Marxist, leftist, socialist, vile organization called Black Lives Matter. I tell you, they're going to bow the knee to Christ someday. Every one of those footballers with their mega bucks. Aye, they're going to bow to him someday. They're going to submit to the rider on the white horse. All the politicians who have been taking the knee, all those metropolitan police officers over in England who have been taking the knee, they're going to take the knee to Christ someday. Aye, they're going to bow to him. But you know, folks, much better to bow the knee, to take the knee to him now. Will you do that today? You know, I'm not even asking you to get down on your knees to him today to pray. But will you not bow your head in prayer today and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Will you not come to know the man on the white horse? 175, let's just wrap things up today with that hymn. 175, give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. First and last verses, please, and it's 175.